Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Brought to you by the 2012 Toyota Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And we are just coming off of the holidays here, in which we all, to our shame, had a little bit too much of all the various holiday things, the holiday foods, the holiday visits with family, the holiday travel, the listening to the holiday music at the train station as it's piped in to fill everyone with holiday cheer and reduce gang violence. It seems like Christmas lasts for several months. Just forever. But one of the things that's reassuring is when we can find some little bit of Christmas that also has a dark side to it, or, I don't know, reassuring to me, be it Krampus and his relationship with Saint Nick, or in this case, a little something called nutmeg.
Which, as you say, it's a little bit of Christmas that you can find all year long.
Yeah, I mean, it basically is the smell of Christmas, right?
It is, and people love it. They love it on their eggnog, on their fancy coffee drinks, in some savory dishes. It's probably something that you've never considered before as having an evil side, but in fact, it does.
Yeah. You also have it in ciders. I don't like them in cider. I love cider, but there's something about either if it's hard cider or soft cider and it's got the nutmeg in it, I don't really go for it. But in other things, like a little bit of nutmeg on top of some eggnog, a little bit of nutmeg on top of even like a vanilla milkshake, it gives it just a little punch, right? There's some heat to it, like a dry heat.
Yes, and it's actually, that's apt that you say that's a dry heat, because it's explained that way in what we say, or what we call the four temperaments. And we've talked about this before, this idea that there are four different temperaments that rule the human body. This is
right.
A very old idea, dry, cold, hot, and wet. So this spice was actually thought to help with various ailments, because the idea is that you have to balance these four temperaments. So when you have this spice, which is kind of like a bitter cinnamon, it is thought, at least in some ancient civilizations and cultures, that it could actually have a myriad effects on your body, which we will explore a bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's in a lot of cool Indian dishes. It's in Coca-Cola. You find it all over the place. But it's like we said, it's a very old thing, using the nutmeg. But some of the more ancient uses of it really relate more to medicinal purposes and folk medicine purposes, in addition to, in some cases, culinary sources as well. So it has a very interesting history, which we're going to get into, and then it has a very interesting effect on the human body, depending on how much you're taking in.
Well, let's get to the nut of it, as it were.
Yes. What is nutmeg, right? Is it some fancy spice that, I don't know, comes out of a dead sandworm? Is it carved out of the earth? No, it's like you said, it's from this nut, right?
Yes, and it comes actually from the nutmeg tree, which is grown commercially in Indonesia, Penang Island, Malaysia, and the West Indies. It's an evergreen with thick, dark green leaves and reaches a maximum height of 40 feet. And in some cases or some areas, it actually is shrub-like. And it has fragrant yellow flowers that produce yellow fruit about the size and the shape of apricots. And a lot of people don't realize that it's actually coming from this fruit-bearing tree.
Yeah. And so you have the fruit. And if you peel away the fruit, or if you're like a toucan, toucans apparently love to eat the fruit. Peel away the fruit, and you'll find in here the nutmeg seed. And the nutmeg seed itself is wrapped up in these flaps of what is called mace, which is another spice derivative is obtained from the mace.
Is that the kind of netting on it?
Yeah, it's kind of like this netting, kind of like an outer, not an outer skin, but peel away the first layer of fruit, and then there'll be another small layer of mace, and then in the very center, that's your nut. That's your nutmeg seed.
Okay. And that's what's dried by sunlight for about 1 to 2 months. And then when it's dried, it's pretty much like oval in shape and about an inch long. It has a wrinkled surface, and it's got fragrant oil contained in the veins of the seed. And that's what gives it that nice scent, that aroma that we associate with the holidays.
Yeah. Now, how long have people been using nutmeg and things? It's really hard to say. Certainly millennia, just to be vague about it. We know that it's been used in Asia for just ages. We know that the ancient Romans used it, but mainly to sprinkle into alcoholic drinks, which we still do to some degree today. I was looking around, and there were none of the drinks were anything I was particularly familiar with, but there are drinks, mixed drinks and cocktails that call for nutmeg. Fast forward to medieval Renaissance banquets, and mace and nutmeg were both very popular, along with things like cinnamon, which they would just throw into dishes, just large amounts, because I guess at that time maybe the more you could cover up, the better, right? And then in the centuries to follow, it became so fashionable among French gourmets that you'd actually bring your own nutmeg to a banquet so that you could add nutmeg to your own dish, to your own particular taste.
Well, and that was absolutely a sign of wealth, too, at that
yes.
time, right? Because then this became the spice of the upper classes because it was so highly coveted at that time in the 17th century. And onward into the 18th century, that European traders were selling it at nearly a 6,000% markup.
Yeah, this stuff was just like gold. It was, we saw one historian who was referring to it as the iPhone of the time, too. It was just like so popular.
Yeah.
Everybody had to have it. I mean, to the point where people had to have it merely because it was a status symbol.
Yeah, absolutely. If you were carrying it, that meant that you were a player.
Yeah.
You were a player at the table.
Like if they had like rap videos back in the 16th century, you can totally imagine like guys leaning back, showing off their nutmeg shaker or grinder or whatever method you would choose to really show off your nutmegitude.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying. I'm putting the rap is now like coming together.
I'm thinking like a Tico Brahe kind of a dude, you know, just really with a total gangster lean kind of going on with a nutmeg shaker.
No, I'm seeing a tricorn hat, perhaps. Yeah. So obviously this becomes a really big deal in the spice trade, along with cloves and cinnamon. But what you begin to see is that there are two different countries that are trying to have some sort of dominancy over this particular nutmeg spice trade, and that is Britain and the Netherlands.
Right.
And they're both trying to push each other out because, again, we're talking about a 6,000% markup, right? Like, this is yielding great results. I mean, they've got crops that aren't doing nearly as well. They've got, various livestock that's not going to bring in this kind of money. So it becomes a really big deal.
Yeah, and at the time, the other thing that makes it really crazy is that, as far as anyone knew, there was really only one place to get it. Despite, the fact we mentioned earlier, it was in India. You see it popping up in Ayurvedic traditions. You see it popping up in Asia. The ancient Romans were able to get their hands on it. But as far as the Dutch and the English knew, the only place to get it was to sail out to the Run Islands in the Banda Sea, which is now eastern Indonesia. And there were a few islands there, and that's where you went to get the nut.
Well, and you know, this is the part of eastern Indonesia. And what you have going on here is you've got the Dutch, again, trying to be dominant here. And unfortunately, what they're doing at this time in the Run Islands is that they're telling the inhabitants, if you share any of these seeds with anyone, we will kill you. And they do, actually. They actually conduct a bit of a genocide on this island.
Like, really straight up horrible, like running people off of cliffs, beheading people. And then if you weren't actually killed outright, you ran the risk of being deported under horrifying conditions that you probably would not survive. And upwards of like 90% of the native population was just wiped out in the name of this super fashionable spice, which everyone was into. I mean, maybe on some level because of the flavor. Sure, it does add a unique punch to anything you sprinkle it on. But then so much of it was prestige. And then these various ideas about what it can do for you health-wise, which we'll get into in a little bit.
Right, right. So there are various reasons why the Dutch wanted to try to clamp down on the islanders and make sure that they didn't trade these seeds or sell these seeds. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, they're absolutely vicious, very bloody. But that didn't obviously stop the trade, because you have some British people who would come and they would grab the plants and then they would just plant them elsewhere. India is one of the places that they transported
throughout
them to.
Throughout the Caribbean, Brazil, eventually Sri Lanka.
Yeah. And then you have birds.
Yeah.
Birds eating the fruit and then pooping out the seeds in various places along the way. You can't stop the birds, right? It reminds me of Monsanto, which is the seed company here in the United States that has a patent on certain seeds. And every once in a while, they will try to prosecute farmers who they say are growing their seeds without having actually purchased the seeds, when in fact those seeds actually were blown by the wind over to their land. So it's sort of, you know, you get into this situation where it's kind of futile to try to control nature like this, but that's what the Dutch did.
Yeah, you see commercialism and imperialism smashing head on with natural cycles of biology.
Yeah.
So it's crazy and ultimately tragic, though, that it ends in so much bloodshed.
And, of course, this is where Manhattan comes in.
Yes, Manhattan. New Amsterdam, as some of our older listeners might know it, I guess. So the Dutch had their little slice of New York here. And eventually this goes to British hands, right? But what was the trade? What was valuable enough that they would give up the city that... what would become the city that never sleeps?
Well, okay, the Dutch are looking at New Amsterdam. They're saying, okay, there's a fur trade going on here, but it's not nearly as lucrative as this nutmeg thing, and we've got to shut this down.
Yeah, because they wanted a monopoly on nutmeg. Like, that was the whole thing. That's why they were vicious enough to wipe out whole populations. They wanted just to lock down all of it. Nobody gets nutmeg except through the Dutch. But then there's this one island out there, what was thought to be the only place in the world to obtain nutmeg. One island is in British hands. So this becomes the trade. This is this is what they have that the Dutch want more than anything.
Yeah, and here's the thing. They say, okay, look, we will give you this entire island, all the fur trading that you could ever want, if we can just go ahead and close this loophole on Run Island and just go ahead and give it to us officially. And the British do acquiesce. They're not very excited by the trade, by the way. They're like, I don't know really what to do about this. But this is how Manhattan actually changed hands via nutmeg.
Yeah.
All right. All that history stuff, we'll push it to the side because we want to start talking about nutmeg itself and what it does to the human body.
Yes. Now, I do want to mention real quick, I was reading, and apparently nutmeg is still a big deal if you're Dutch. Like, Dutch cuisine, it like does call for a lot of nutmeg, a lot of cinnamon, a lot of cloves, you know, any of these things that used to be really exotic and powerful spices. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were so important at the time, they've remained an essential part of their culinary tradition, so...
Even though
around the 1800s, nutmeg ceased to be this super exotic thing, people moved on to getting excited about coffee and chocolate, tobacco, more so than before. So, but like you said, what does it do to the body? What are the health benefits? And this was part of the equation from early on, because when we look back at references to nutmeg, nutmeg was showing up in medical texts and in dietary texts before it was showing up in culinary texts. So it's like people were realizing that this was something useful. This is something that could be used in folk medicine to heal various ailments. And it was And it's a wide array of ailments that it could apparently or supposedly deal with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is why it ended up in cookery, right? Because mm-hmm. people were trying to incorporate it into what they ingested. Around the time of the Black Plague, too, people wore bags of the spice around their necks as protection against mm-hmm. the Black Plague. And that might seem kind of silly, but it's plausible that nutmeg actually repelled fleas that carried plague-causing bacteria. So there was something perhaps to this. The smell of nutmeg is actually due to something called isoeugenol, a natural pesticide that the plant uses to defend itself against predators like insects and fungi. So it's very possible that this was a sort of pesticide that was worn around the neck to ward off fleas.
Cool. And another big one was dysentery, or as the Brits called it back then, the bloody flux, which sounds even more dreadful, but it was believed that nutmeg could help with that. So
yeah, and then according to doctors Joseph Pizzorno and Michael Murray, authors of the Encyclopedia of Healing Foods, nutmeg oil inhibits over 25 species of bacteria, including E. coli.
As far as nutrients go, nutmeg is a good source of vitamin A, vitamin C, iron, copper, also protein, omega-6 fatty acids, dietary fiber. So there's even if you discount some of the wilder claims, there's a lot of really good stuff going on in nutmeg. It's good for liver health. Researchers even today have concluded that it has liver protective actions that are due to its ability to reduce inflammatory immune chemicals mm-hmm. in the human body that would otherwise potentially harm the liver. And it's also been found to relieve symptoms of pain and inflammation. So it could also help with other various symptoms, if not even the core ailments, you know. So there are some definite health advantages just straight up on the table that nutmeg can offer. Whether it was actually able to cure any kind of dysentery you might have or plague, well, maybe not. But it is a healthy thing to ingest, at least in small quantities.
Ah, and that's the key, right?
Right.
And see, that's when if we had sound effects, we would have like lightning and thunder cracking. And we begin to talk about nutmeg, the vice.
Yeah, and this is where it really gets interesting. And I think this was ultimately what initially drew our interest, and certainly continues to draw a lot of people's interest, the idea of nutmeg as a narcotic. Nutmeg as an illicit substance that can do all sorts of strange things to you, despite being just right up there in the spice rack, totally legal,
yeah.
and just, you know, just glaring at you, and I guess tempting you to some weird degree.
Robert. Yeah. Is that what you hear every time you open the spice cabinet?
Yes.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Now, we do need to mention, though, before we even get into it, just in case someone wants to run off and grab nutmeg, do not do it.
Oh, yeah.
Because this we're going to discuss here, taking nutmeg for some sort of illicit pharmaceutical response is, for the most part, a stupid idea. Because there seems to be two categories, right, when people take nutmeg for recreational purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Either it makes them horribly sick, or it gives them just a really horrible time for about 48 hours where they're basically just delirious. Or there's a third category where you kind of get both. You're delirious and you're just violently ill, and sometimes even hospitalized.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of should look at it as like the runs high, right?
Yeah. The first question comes to mind is, when did people start figuring this out, that if you ingest a lot of nutmeg? And when we say a lot of nutmeg, we're talking like spoonfuls of the stuff or like a whole container of nutmeg. But when did people first get this idea in their head that they should try it, or that once they've tried it, that it does have some sort of strange effect on the human body?
Well, from Atlantic Magazine article, My Nutmeg Bender by Wayne Curtis, he says that the Benedictine abbess Hildegard of Bingen, noted the mind-altering effects of nutmeg all the way back to the 12th century. So we've got some documentation that people were dabbling around with it then.
Yeah, apparently in Ayurvedic medicine, ancient Indian medicine, it was known as Mada Shanda, or narcotic fruit, and it was sometimes chewed with betel to excite one, or it was actually consumed orally to excite the libido. And this is an interesting area, the idea that if you take nutmeg, it could potentially enhance your sex life. And again, a very old idea. We see it in ancient India. And you see it come up again in various other texts as people set out to try and figure out exactly what nutmeg can do for the body when it's taken in abnormal doses. There was a man by the name of Andrew Board, and he had a book called Dietary of Health, in which he says, generally, nutmegs be good for them which have cold in their head and doth comfort the sight and the brain. But he, interestingly enough, he was a celibate monk, you know, vow of chastity.
Mm-hmm.
And he also suggested that nutmeg dampened sexual desire, which reportedly, according to some of the dirt on this guy, it didn't really work all that well for him. Or maybe he was trying to tamp down so much desire
that it, even large quantities of nutmeg didn't help. But then there's another interesting, I guess you would say, nutmeg psychonaut, the Earl of Dorset, Charles Sackville. And this is the late 1600s, and we see a reference to him in Samuel Pepys' diary. Charles Sackville would regularly take a spoonful of nutmeg before bedtime. And he claimed that this would fill his dreams with all manner of illicit scenarios, and then he'd wake up in the morning rather excited by it. And according to Samuel Pepys, Sackville eventually wound up in the slammer after a night of, quote, running up and down all night almost naked through the streets. So,
all right.
But then again, to what extent is this just a rather excitable guy anyway?
Right, right.
And he takes it, you know, the placebo effect could be in full effect here.
Yeah, there's no evidence that it really is an aphrodisiac, but researchers have found it to increase mating behaviors in mice, and it's known to stimulate the circulatory system and increase blood flow, so
well,
it stands to reason that it could help in terms of sexual drive.
But, and again, we're talking about large doses here, because
yes. 'Cause
generally the consensus is small doses of nutmeg on a regular basis, as in the kind of nutmeg that you would use in cooking or putting on top of your coffee or the occasionally a mixed drink or Christmas cider or what have you,
mm-hmm.
all that is perfectly fine. It's not going to hurt you at all, and it'll probably have beneficial effects.
But it's the ingestion of, let's say, a whole nutmeg
yes.
seed, right?
This right,
is
or
where,
a huge spoonful every night, that kind of thing.
Right, this is where we begin to see some of the hallucinogenic effects of it. And you had already noted some of the possible side effects, including loose bowels, vomiting, accelerated heart rate. But also, according to Wayne Curtis in that article, My Nutmeg Bender, nutmeg burps at 20-minute intervals.
Yeah.
I mean, again, people, this is not sexy stuff here.
Right.
This is probably not something that you want to take and then, you know, have a date. In fact, you don't want to take it at all. Over and over again, we saw accounts of this, of people saying this is not really a hallucinatory experience that is exalted in any way.
Yeah, this is not a desirable experience. This is, I mean, because there are also things like giddiness, laughing fits, yes, fantasies, but also nausea, the heart palpitations, hallucinations. Generally speaking, there seem to be two categories of people. The vast majority are the people who try it once
mm-hmm.
and then realize it was a stupid thing they did
mm-hmm.
and they never do it again. And then there's a very small category of people who are just really, maybe they're just there's an obsessive personality about them, or they have just an inflated idea of what it's doing for them. So you see people like Charles Sackville, who at least claims to have taken in large doses of it on a regular basis, thinking or to some extent getting some sort of illicit use out of it. Or I was looking around on modern message boards, and I ran across one individual who was just really gung-ho about figuring out a way how to break the nutmeg code, like how to combine nutmeg with other substances so that he could get this trippy experience without any of the side effects, which it just seems like he was putting a lot of work into an undesirable goal. So by and large, you see people who take it once and never take it again. You can look on YouTube and you'll find people who stupidly decide they're going to take the nutmeg challenge, because there's a lot of that. Are you familiar with this scenario? I think there was like a cinnamon challenge, and there's like stuff like wasabi challenge.
Yes.
Where it's just idiots taking spoonfuls of things and choking them down, and generally choking, because you're not supposed to have a spoonful of wasabi. Your body knows a spoonful of wasabi is a bad idea. Your body
yeah.
knows that a spoonful of nutmeg is a bad idea, and that's why you literally have to choke it down if you're taking large amounts of it. So people inevitably, generally teenagers with a webcam, end up doing this and just having an awful time, because you, at the very least, it's gonna feel nasty going down. You're gonna feel totally out of sorts for something like 48 hours. It takes
yeah.
about 4 hours to set in, and then you're looking at 48 hours, even 3 days of just feeling weird and awful and zombie-like and sluggish. Maybe you'll feel a little bit like you're flying, but you'll also have diarrhea. So,
well, and that's what Wayne Curtis details in his article in Atlantic Magazine. I mean, he says that, you know, that it took effect on him, and for a couple of days it took a while to shake off. And he says that its hallucinogenic properties are likely from the molecules of mistricin and elemicin.
Mm-hmm.
And mistricin is in nutmeg and has a chemical structure that shares similarities with mescaline, amphetamine, and ecstasy. And in the Dictionary of Hallucinations, it says that nutmeg has been reported to mediate visual, auditory, tactile, and kinesthetic hallucinations, notably the sense of floating, as you had already mentioned.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So what I think is really interesting is that Curtis actually went to the trouble of trying this to see what sort of effect it would have on him. And before we discuss that, I wanted to point out that people have resorted to using this, it looks like, in cases where they could not obtain other substances. And I'm talking about in prison, because there are a lot of rumors that, you know, people have used it in prisons to try to get high. And in fact, in Malcolm X's biography, he says that a penny matchbook full of nutmeg had the kick of three or four reefers. Again, you know, this experience is going to vary from person to person, but largely what people are reporting is that they're not having a mellow high or anything like that. We're talking vomit and diarrhea here.
Yeah, I mean, it's important that we're talking about a prison scenario, because this is also a scenario where individuals are going to be kind of desperate for any kind of sensory change. You know, they want a different
right.
experience than the thing that they're having every single day. And if various other forms of stimulation are withheld from them, then they may have no other choice, in their view, to try things like nutmeg. So in many prisons to this day, it's difficult to find nutmeg in the kitchen because they're just not going to stock it because somebody's going to end up taking it. But again, it's just not going to be a pleasant time. There are also stories that jazz musicians, particularly Charlie Parker, reportedly partook of nutmeg. Supposedly nutmeg wasn't the only thing that Charlie Parker took. But it's just no one knows for sure. Like I was reading one of our articles we were looking at for this. They were talking about it is kind of like a mystery that nobody wants to talk about. Like the jazz musicians, the secret of jazz is nutmeg, which I don't buy for a second. You know?
Yeah. I do think it's interesting that it really didn't even become known in the Western world really mm-hmm. Until I think the 60s. And one of the first people to ferret it out was Dr. Andrew Weil, who at the time was submitting his thesis for honors in biology at Harvard University. And he wanted to really make an inquiry into nutmeg as a narcotic and a hallucinogenic. And he kind of sort of went through the whole thing, and it's very interesting. But because before then, again, people didn't really think of it as having any sort of hallucinogenic properties. But you probably know Dr. Andrew Weil now as someone who has been at the sort of forefront of what you would say integrative medicine is, and really looking at these various natural herbs and plants to try to integrate into medicine and get some sort of benefit from.
Yeah, it's a fascinating paper that a young Weil put together, and it's also amusing too because there's so many beatniks in it. He keeps talking about beatniks that he knows. One particular that I encounter that he mentioned, because he mentions talking to this guy and that guy, you know, doesn't use any names, but particularly he's interested at one point in the article, he's interested in individuals who normally take marijuana, but when they can't obtain marijuana, then supposedly they turn to nutmeg, which, as we've already illustrated, clearly nutmeg is not equatable with marijuana use. But he was just asking around. It's like, is this true when you can't have marijuana? Do you have nutmeg? And there's one Harvard graduate in particular that Weil talked to who answered him by saying, oh, here, step over here to your spice cabinet. And he opened the spice cabinet, and he points at all the various things in here. He says, pretty much everything in here but MSG, if you take enough of it, it's going to have some sort of weird effect on mm-hmm. your body. You know, if you're...
Heart palpitations,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. It could be cinnamon. It could be paprika. But... If you take enough of anything,
right.
and certainly a spice, because a spice is going to be a very potent substance that it just we don't use in large quantities. But if you consume a large quantity, you're going to get some sort of reaction, probably not a good one.
Yeah, I also like that paper too because you can see all of his handwritten molecular compounds,
yes.
all of his drawings. It's very quaint.
Yeah.
But yes, so I think that kind of gives you an idea of how, again, it's not this. Wonderful high that people are seeking. There's probably a reason why it's not something that is done in drug culture a lot, right?
Yeah.
Not so great. Back to Wayne Curtis in the article, he talks about his nutmeg bender. Let me just read a little bit of his own experience. He says that both dubious and intrigued, I grated up a whole nutmeg and part of another, producing about 1.5 tablespoons of powder. I swallowed it in one small spoonful at a time, chasing each gulp down with water. He says, consumed in that quantity, nutmeg loses its Yuletide goodness and tastes like turpentine. Perhaps my dosage was too low or my nutmeg too desiccated. I did go through an early giddy phase when everything seemed immensely amusing, including the shingles on my neighbor's house, and I felt a slight floating sensation when walking around the neighborhood. But mostly, I just felt out of sorts for a couple of days. When I tried to write, my words sometimes became unmoored from my thoughts, though to be fair, this happens even without the influence of nutmeg. Not so exciting description here. A lot of trouble going through trying to get some sort of high out of that.
Yeah, it's not you don't encounter romantic descriptions of nutmeg use. It's generally a failure or a real failure. I mean, and then there have been cases where individuals have been hospitalized or in some cases possibly died from using it. The chances of dying from nutmeg poisoning are pretty slim, but it's always a possibility, and certainly it's also possible to for there to be drug interactions as well. So I mean, everybody's body's different. It depends on what's going on inside you, what other substances you're taking, what your particular health situation is. So
I think what we're saying is, kids, just keep it on the top of your coffee.
Exactly.
What I'm saying, just a couple sprinkles will do.
Yeah, or apparently, as the joy of cooking says, use it sparingly but often. So probably a good place to leave it, but still, I will admit, even though I will absolutely never try and choke down a whole bunch of nutmeg in the hopes of stuff weird happening and to me and spending 48 hours on a toilet. The next time I sprinkle nutmeg on it, I will certainly have that in the back of my mind. I'll feel a little cooler using my nutmeg because I'm like, look at me, I'm like a Dutch aristocrat.
See, I'll just think about the bathroom thing.
Yeah.
My mind will go straight to the gutter. All right, so there you go. That is actually a nice little precursor for a couple of episodes that are coming out. So look for them. We are going to talk more specifically about hallucinogens, shamans, all sorts of good stuff, and the various ways that we try to manipulate the mind.
All right. Well, on that note, let's call over the Robot and look at some listener mail. Here's one from our listener, Marcio. Marcio writes in and says, "Hi, Robert and Julie. I'm a listener from Portugal who, for obvious reasons, doesn't observe Thanksgiving, but of course still listen to the turkey episode. You may recall the part about the origin of the bird's name and how the British called everything Oriental Turkish, including something that was merely traded by Eastern merchants. Interestingly enough, kind of the same thing happened with the Portuguese. In the 16th century, Spanish America was properly referred to as Peru. When the Spanish first brought that bird to Europe, we called it Peru, and it still has that name today. At least we got the continent right. Thank you for the podcast. I'm a fan. Have fun, Marcio." So that's interesting, and certainly that ties in nicely with this episode in which we talked about international trade and how it affects our understandings of various products, you know. Also, on the Thanksgiving episode, we ruminated in that particular episode about the possibility of a killer turkey horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And
plausible, right?
Plausible, yes. And lo and behold, it exists. A number of you pointed out that there is a movie by the name of
Thanksgiving
that appears to star a kind of Skeksis-like evil turkey puppet that goes around killing people. And it's currently available on Netflix streaming, which is pretty cool. So
yeah,
it is out there.
You should totally check out the trailer at the very least. It's very funny stuff.
So there you have it, a little listener mail there. If you would like to write in with your thoughts on nutmeg, we would love to hear about them. Again, do not actually try and take a bunch of nutmeg and then expect that we're going to read your thoughts about it on the podcast.
Shaking my head no.
Yeah, absolutely not. But I would particularly love to hear any of you who are Dutch or who have had a lot of Dutch cuisine. I'd love to know about the nutmeg in that culinary tradition. That kind of thing I would love to hear about. Anything else nutmeg related that you may have to share that doesn't involve spooning down nutmeg. If you want to share this kind of thing with us, you can find us on Facebook and Tumblr. We are Stuff to Blow Your Mind on both of those. And you can also find us on Twitter, where our handle is Blow the Mind.
And you can always drop us a line at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Brought to you by the 2012 Toyota Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.